9 minutes after 9, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Shortly we'll be joined on the line by Mawlana Ibrahim Baum and we are discussing the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi. And today we are going to be looking at chapter number 22 of the book Enjoy Your Life, which is titled The Keys to Hearts. A very interesting chapter. The keys to hearts, how to win people over and how to make a positive influence in their lives and how to solve difficult situations. That's what will be discussed in this program. The SMS line to the program is 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 0727861548. Alternatively, the Twitter handle is at Ibrahim Baum. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. It's just 15 minutes after 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. We will be joining Mawlana Baum shortly, inshallah. He's just in a bit of a meeting there. And as soon as he finishes, inshallah, he will be joining us on the program. In the meanwhile, I'd like to share with you a few couplets. It reads, "Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to in life?" And that's really true, you know. If you had everything in life, everything, you know, we don't have to work. You don't have to wake up in the morning. You can sleep as long as you want. You can eat whenever you want. Life would have become very miserable. So the nature of life is such that you require something to spur you. You require something to get you going. So you wake up the next morning, you need to attend to a few errands, you need to buy a few things, or you need to save up on a few things. So these challenges in life makes life interesting. And if a person had everything in his life, it would lead him to depression, to sadness, to melancholy. It would finish the person up. So be thankful that you don't have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be a need to look forward to in life? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. And that is the nature of life. Every day you discover something new. Every day. Nobody knows it all. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations. They give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, which will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you have given what you all got. It's easy to be thankful for the good things, yet a life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles and they can become your blessings. Yes, we do have Mawlana Ibrahim Baum on the program, alhamdulillah. Let's see if we can welcome Mawlana on the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Now we trust that you are doing well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazl and grace is always great.
Well, we've got two things that we would like to discuss this morning. One is the chapter, and at the same time, we would also like to take the experiences of people during the month of Ramadan.
Yes, Mawlana, people have different Ramadans, and I thought maybe we could share our own experiences, and maybe also share some of the experiences of the listeners with regard to some of the memorable Ramadan that they've had. We all know that Ramadan, in terms of the importance of it, the ulama have spoken about it from Radio Islam and in the masajid, and it is now well known that people have an idea with regard to the blessedness of the month. I suppose what I'm looking at today is that maybe personal experiences in terms of Ramadan that might motivate and inspire people in terms of how people have spent their Ramadan and how it has been such a great lesson and such a great inspiration for them. I suppose maybe, Mawlana, you must have had some memorable Ramadans during the course of my life, and may Allah Ta'ala make it a means of my forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And make it the means of the overlooking of my many faults. is that we had the opportunity of spending some wonderful Ramadan with very great people. I had the opportunity of spending Ramadan once with Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Saharanpur. And I'm sure that there are many ulama who are out there who have spent Ramadan with Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali in Saharanpur. And the spiritual fervor is something that is quite unique. And together with that is also the aspect of some of the striving that we had to do. So it was not easy with regard to a place in which it was a village. And, well, Saharanpur is not really a village, but I mean, in terms of what we are accustomed to in terms of our bathroom and latrine facilities, it was not there. So you had a situation where the latrines were almost like open, and if a person had to go, he had to, you know, sort of give a sound. And the other person, if he was still occupying the bathroom, used to make a similar type of sound. So you knew that the bathroom is not available for you to just walk in or to relieve yourself. And if there was no sound, then you could sort of walk ahead. Now, saying that to young people would actually mean very little, because they would never understand the concept with regard to someone have to making a sound before he goes to the bathroom and before he goes and relieve himself. And that was the way you found out whether the place to relieve yourself is available or not for you to utilize. Then we also had an opportunity once again of being in the company of the Sheikh al-Hadith Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali when he came to Pakistan in Faisalabad. And that's the time he spent his Ramadan there. I don't know, should I carry on?
Sure, Mawlana.
Yes, I suppose the drift that people, the listeners, might be getting is that many listeners would have similar type of experiences. And how did that particular experience make for them for a better life? How do they have memories with regard to it? So maybe I just thought that maybe we'll throw up the lines and tell people to relate some of the experiences with regard to Ramadan. Now, in Faisalabad, for example, which was at the Darul Uloom of Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very famous personality, someone who visited our shores many a times, and it is in his Darul Uloom that Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali spent another Ramadan in the early 80s. And I had the opportunity of going with South African students to go there, and of course many South African people and ulama came from here. Mufti Suleiman Pandor, Mullah Ahmad Durwesh, many other ulama who came, and then they joined Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali in Faisalabad. And of course Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was there, and Qazi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was there. So many great ulama who had partook, and of course the facilities there in Faisalabad were far better than what, you know, from the physical point of view, material point of view, than what was in Saharanpur. But it was also a remarkable type of Ramadan, because in the sense that the entire Ramadan you spent in Faisalabad, I was one of the khadim, so I didn't sit for itikaf. What I did was that I sat in one of the rooms with few people, and I used to take everyone's orders and then go to the marketplaces every day after Zohar. And I can still remember that there used to be these vans, and at the back of the van you used to sit. And that van used to take you to the famous clock tower in Faisalabad. And from there you used to go and buy whatever people had. So people had, we want this. So I used to go and buy everyone's things, take people's money and go and buy the thing and come back. So that was also unique Ramadan. But one of the Ramadan that I have, one of the greatest memories was that when I came back, I was still a new imam in Newtown Masjid, Hamidiya Masjid. It was in 1984. 1984 Ramadan, that Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came and spent the entire Ramadan in Newtown Masjid. And I had just started off being an imam at Newtown Masjid, and being an imam at such a great event, and still being so young, was very challenging. Yet together with the challenges, it was extremely satisfying, because you were the imam, you had just been there, so there were two khatams, so one of the khatams you were the one who was reciting, and then after Fajr I normally had my tafsir, and yet there were these great luminaries And I recall one alim in particular, a very senior alim of the country, who used to advise me with regard to my tafsir and say that this is what you said was very good. Use this word, use these words. So that particular Ramadan was a very great learning experience for me, because it was a time when I just started off my imamate in Newtown, and yet at the same time was made to be the imam of a masjid in which such a great luminary and great personality was making itikaf.
Interesting indeed. Moran, speaking about Saharanpur and all that, how many people were looking at that time in Ramadan that were accommodated?
Well, Moran, you must remember, and that is an amazing thing, because at that time, there were not that many people who used to come for itikaf. If I could recall correctly, and maybe subject to correction, the people who sat with Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Newtown Masjid, I would say were about 120, you know, maximum.
That's still a lot.
And the people, hello?
Jimna, that's still a lot.
Yeah, well, but I mean, compared to what you get nowadays, 200-300 people in one khanka, it was at that time, I would say between 100-120 people were sitting for itikaf in Newtown. And of course, because of the fact that there were people, a lot of people used to come for nafil, but because of the fact that there were so many people, there were very few private tents. Nowadays, of course, most of the motakifin got private tents, which is a good thing. It does give you a sense of privacy, does give you allowance to perform your ibadat on its own way. And of course, the prominent people like Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, because people used to come and go and ask him questions, he used to have a private tent, and some of his very close personnel. And of course, in Faisalabad, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to be also the one who used to have a private tent, and he used to be on the opposite side of Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So if in the beginning or in the first saf, if you had Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali sitting on the left-hand side, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had a tent on the extreme right-hand side. And such was the love Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali had for Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that all his masail, anyone asked any masla with regard to Taraweeh, Hilal, any aspect, it used to go via Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that, call my Mufti Sahib, I would like to ask him with regard to what this masla is.
Interesting indeed. What was the routine like for that day, Munah?
Well, I think in both the instances, there used to be one lecture a day. So, one lecture in Saharanpur and in Faisalabad, the lecture used to be around about 10:30 in the morning, right? And in Newtown, if memory serves me correct, it used to be after Zuhar. So then we used to also have a joint congregational zikr. The congregational zikr, the congregation and everyone used to make their own zikr, but they used to do it at a specific time. Normally it used to be before Zohar, which was in Newtown, or after Zohar in places like Faisalabad and Saharanpur. Then, of course, there used to be after the Taraweeh, there used to be the 40 Durood, and there used to be Dua. Sometimes there used to be a Kitab reading, or sometimes there used to be a specific alim who used to give certain advices. But there were many programs like that. Many a times the programs used to be where it was dependent upon individual ibadat. People who had been to Saharanpur earlier used to say that Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali used to himself give a majlis. But towards the latter portion when he was not well, before Isha, sometimes there used to be the gathering of bayat. So people used to come and spiritually give the bayat to Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali in Saharanpur. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali used to be there. So that was more or less the and of course there used to be two suparas that was recited in all of the places that were there. So there used to be two khatams made. So in Newtown also there were two khatams, in Saharanpur also, in Faisalabad there was. And then of course after there used to be very different personalities. So in Faisalabad, for example, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, who is the Sheikh al-Hadith and the founder of Darul Umbari, used to recite the Fajr prayers on a daily basis. The du'as used to be recited and read by Muawdul Hafiz Makki. So I think this was just some of the programs that I've made mention of. But I mean, as I said, there are very different type of Ramadan that you get, and these are some of the ones that stand out for me in terms of. Then I also had the opportunity of performing and spending Ramadan with Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. And that was a remarkable type of Ramadan, because after Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ali passed away, I became back to Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatul Ali. And Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatul Ali used to perform and make his Ramadan in Murray. And as students, we went to go and spend the Ramadan. There were three students of ours in South African students who went to go and spend the Ramadan with Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatul Ali in Murray. And that was also a unique experience, as I will explain.
Yes, the lines are open for you to share with us your experiences. Perhaps you could also share with us those experiences, those memories which you were part of. For example, at the New Town, were you there when Mufti Mahmood Sahib was there? Perhaps you could share with us your experiences or any other i'tikaf for Ramadan that you've spent sometimes in a foreign country and things are different. How did it go for you? You can share experiences even for the ladies. You know, Ramadan prior to marriage, after marriage, and also with in-laws, without in-laws. Everything, inshallah, under the memories can come, and positivity is what we are talking about, and inshallah we can speak along those lines. Manana, you're speaking about Murray?
Well, that was a remarkable type of Ramadan for me for many reasons. Because, well, first of all, you were students, and as students you were still sort of looking for all types of different you're looking for all different types of adventure, and you're looking for all different types of experiences. And Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatul Ali's itikaf in Ramadan was very, very different from Hazrat Shah Rahmatul Ali's, in the sense that there were very few programs. He used to have gatherings and he used to have majlis, and the majlis used to be completely silent. People used to remain silent for 20, 25 minutes, and yet the spiritual fervor in there was quite amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, that was very different from Hazrat Shah Rahmatul Ali's itikaf, where there were many programs that were held, and those programs used to be very beneficial. And of course, people might also have, and I'm sure maybe this might be something that is good for people, is that people could share their experience over the Sheikh Muhammad Ali's Ramadan in Stanger. I mean, people still talk very highly about it. One of my great regrets was I had come to South Africa at that time. I was performing Taraweeh in Bela Bela in Wombat, and because you were performing Taraweeh, you didn't want to take off, because, and yet, you know, the Jamaat one day say, go for a weekend and go and see and experience what it was. But you were sort of just so focused on your Taraweeh that you didn't go to Stanger. And
maybe,
you remained.
Maybe it was Para 26, that's why. Maybe it was Para 26, that's why. Gee. So, it was in Stanger, Mulana, but it was also quite far, Mulana, for you.
Yeah, it was far. But people used to go a lot in the weekends. People used to go from Johannesburg and Wombat, and then to go and spend their time in Stanger and spend the weekend there. So in the weekend they used to get refreshed, and they used to spend the night there either in the masjid or make some arrangement with people who are around there and spend their time in Stanger, and thereafter they used to come back during the end of the weekend. And as I was saying, that was also quite a unique experience. I'm sure many people might be having some of those experiences which they would like to share, which I believe was quite a remarkable aspect. When Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ali thereafter came to Johannesburg and he spent 3 or 4 days in Newtown Masjid, that time I had freed myself and spent the time here with Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ali in Newtown Masjid. And that was right in the early 80s, I think it was in 81. And little did I know that in 2 years' time thereafter I would be at that masjid serving as an imam. So I stayed in the masjid. And with Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ali in 1981, I still recall amazingly that in one of the times when Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ali came back from Stanger and spent in Newtown Masjid, and he was there, and Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was there, and Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in 1981 gave the Friday talk in Newtown Masjid, in which he spoke about dua, the importance of dua, and how duas get accepted. And he gave 5 ways of how du'as get accepted. Amazingly, it is only the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that particular lecture and how the 5 du'as get accepted, and Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is giving example, is still clear in my mind. And many a times in my bayans, as recent as the bayan in Shami Barat, I related almost verbatim those 5 aspects of how du'as get accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I had taken from Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali when he gave a talk in Newtown in 1981.
You can share it today also, Mawlana, 2016, mashallah.
And I remember that Mawlana Muhammad Gardi performed the Jummah prayers, and Mufti Mutab Rahmatullah Ali was the one who gave the Jummah talk. That was way back in 1981. Maybe I'll share that also as part of my memories.
Yeah, it's good because it's Ramadan also, and it will tie up with the theme also, if you remember them often.
Yes, inshallah. So these are some of the stuff. I would like to speak about Mari because Mari was quite remarkable. So I'm speaking on all these things. I don't want to be speaking on my own. Maybe the listeners can come in. They can start giving us some of their experience. I don't know if there's anyone who had been to Stenger when Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ali was there, and maybe they could share some of their experiences.
Yeah, I think people are just enjoying the stories, but I think you must carry on in Mari.
Mari, as we all know, is a place of holiday in Pakistan.
Gee.
So people used to go and spend their holidays in Mari. And it's a remarkable place. It's a beautiful place, although now it is very overcrowded. And there are some certain areas in Pakistan, especially the remote areas, that are exceptionally beautiful. And Mari has become overcrowded as a tourist attraction. A lot of people come there, and there are much more big hotels now that are there. The hotels are there.
Marana, can we trouble you? We've got two callers there online.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Is that me?
Gee, we love it.
Marana, a wonderful program. You know, you're taking us down memory lane now.
Gee.
1981, Marana Sheikh Zakaria Sahib was in Jamia Masjid. And at that time he was frail and old, and he was sitting behind a curtain. And I think you were there. I didn't see you, but I didn't know you that time. But Marana was...
Oops, looks like the brother has... Okay, we've lost the call. Maybe it's gone into Itika. Let's go to the second caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, the lines are open. 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. You can give us a call and inshallah we'll take your messages also. You can continue, Mona.
Yes, Moana, and speaking about Mari used to be this place. So obviously when Hazrat Sheikh Abdulaziz Raipuri was staying in someone's place, which is a very big place, a little bit away from Mari, but you could go up and down to the city center. And, as I said, that Sheikh Abdulaziz Raipuri didn't have great strictness. One amazing aspect with regard to him was the way he performed Taraweeh. His Taraweeh was the way we had normally heard from the Fuqaha, that you must read 4 rakats and then spend that amount of time that you recited, and you spend in the 4 rakats in between the 4 rakats. So you used to sit and make muraqabah and make zikr. So after the 4 rakats, you used to then wait for almost 10 minutes and make zikr and then start the next 4 rakats. And his one supara, Taraweeh, used to take something like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And it used to be like you can't believe how much of sukoon there was in the Taraweeh. And he used to take a particular, you know, his ibadat was amazing. I've very rarely see someone making such ibadat in such little sleep. He used to start off from after Ishraq reading Salat. And he used to have a sitting portion in which he used to recite Salat. And you used to see his head bobbing down in terms of reading Tilawat. From that time, almost up till Zawal, he used to be in Salat. In different type of nafil ibadat. Right? And when he used to sleep before Zuhar, and then all the khadims used to come, and then they used to press his legs, etc. And even then, he didn't want to sleep like that. He used to call an imam who was going to read the Taraweeh, that he must read the one supara that he's going to read in Taraweeh. And while listening to that, he used to fall asleep.
Subhanallah.
And then he used to get up, and then people used to make the zikr, and then he used to make Zuhar. After Zuhar again, he used to be in nafil ibadat. And it was amazing. He was almost all the time either in reading Quran or in Nafil Salat making Khatam of the Holy Quran. Almost the entire day. Just before Maghrib, he used to call his family members. Now his family members were very young, and some of the young people, that's where part of the enjoyment was, that there used to be a small ground next to the where he was sitting for Itikaf. And all the youngsters, especially his family members, used to go and play cricket. And because we were like, you know, South Africans, we were like the heroes of the cricket. And obviously, I used to have some talent in playing cricket. I don't know if the talent still remains. So I used to be the opening batsman, and all they used to insist that I must come and play the cricket because the South African is playing the cricket. So we used to play cricket until about 15, 20 minutes before the Maghrib. And then he used to go in privacy. He should spend his iftar and is eating afterwards with his family. And we used to be the people who were sort of the ones who were in the Khanka. They used to make the iftar separately. And then used to start with the Taraweeh, subhanAllah. But most of his emphasis was on individual ibadat. And complete individual ibadat and silent ibadat. Comparatively to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, I would say that was more in tune with what people want. If today, for example, you have someone who is making a complete silent type of i'tikaf, people will be so motivated, because you need the different type of ibadat and the different types of program that keep people motivated. So I suppose I saw these two different types of i'tikaf, one with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mufti Mutab Rahmatullah Alayhi, and also the aspect of Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi's i'tikaf. His son, Maulana Sayyid, used to sometimes give the talk, and he used to be a very prominent figure, if albeit he was more inclined towards politics comparative to his father, who was a Sufi sheikh in every way.
Well, I'm just trying to picture how Maulana would be sitting for 25 minutes without doing anything, because we know Maulana is always doing something. It's either the phone or the pen or a book or something, and Maulana can never be sitting idle. So I'm just trying to understand how you would manage for a period of 30 days like it, Maulana.
Maybe that was part of my tazkiyah, just to remain silent for 25 minutes. You know, there was one amazing, was that Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Ramtulali had a lot of awe. Although he didn't speak much, but when you were in his company, you were sort of taken aback. You very seldom wanted to say something, because he had a presence that was amazing. So one day he wanted to change his bed, so he called two or three of the khadims, said, I want to change my bed and the way I'm sleeping. And I also said, let me go and do that little bit of khidmat. And I still remember how that khadim just could not get the positioning right because of the force of personality of Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri. He put it this way and he put it that way, and Sheikh is getting more and more angry. I'm telling you, put it this way. And he, because of his excitement and Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali's force of personality, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, must have used 10 different positions which were not right, and eventually till he got it right. And that was an amazing aspect of Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. Bear in mind, Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali was a Khalifa of Hazrat Muhammad Al Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. Very close. Mufti Mehmutab Rahmatullah Ali, may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. And brothers, please, whenever you get a chance, go past Ellsberg and go and visit the qabr of Hazrat Mufti Mehmutab Rahmatullah Ali. We don't get a chance to do it often, but it is something that is there. That and Mufti Mehmutab Rahmatullah Ali used to tell me that, and when he came to know that our idea was bad to Shah Abdul Aziz, he used to call him Hafiz Abdul Aziz. So he said, you know, can I tell you something about your Sheikh Hafiz Abdul Aziz? So I said, gee. So he said, when after Muhammad al-Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali passed away, I went to the Khanka in Raipur to go and make ziyarat and to sit there after the Hazrat Sheikh has passed away, to see his family and his close people. So he said, and when I walked into the Khanka, I got a shock of my life. And he said, the reason for my shock was I thought that Hafiz Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali was still alive. Because on his masnad, where he used to sit, he said, your Sheikh Hafiz Abdul Aziz Raipuri was sitting, and his features became like Maulana Abdul Qadir. I thought that Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri was still alive.
SubhanAllah.
So we talk about Nisbat Ittihadi, that part of the aspect with regard to the Sheikh is that a person becomes almost like his Sheikh. And he said, Hafiz Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, after Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri passed away, even assumed some of the physical features of his Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali.
Wow, fascinating indeed.
And he said, I know Mufti Mehmutab Rahmatullah Ali used to tell me with regard to it.
Gee, Maulana, and I suppose being in a Khanka, it's easier to make ibadah, because when you're alone, you kind of get bored, and then you get drifted away. And in the environment of a Khanka, I think especially in today's day and age, is more suitable for us to make ibadah, because we see each other. The minute you feel lackadaisical, you immediately look at the person next to you, around you, and then you are motivated. And so it makes it easier for you to continue with your rituals, right?
Yes, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali used to say an amazing thing in Saharanpur. He used to say, there is no pabandi on the amount of time that you spend in eating. You see, whatever Allah Ta'ala, we have, people give a lot of, and of course I believe in Stenge, it was the same thing. Now perhaps, maybe if you look at it, sometimes I do feel, and maybe Allah Ta'ala make me maaf, with regard to it, sometimes there's a lot of emphasis with regard to food, to the extent that it becomes wasteful. And obviously, food is part and parcel of a person's need. But sometimes when it does go beyond the limit and it becomes extravagance, sometimes it might be doing it. And I think people are not doing it because of wrong reasons and wrong motives.
Mm.
They are doing it because of good reasons. They are doing it because they want to feed the people who are in i'tikaf. They want to do good, and people make all the necessary arrangements. One wonders that sometimes, is there waste or is there extravagance in this particular regard? But as the Shaykh Muhammad Ali used to say, by how much you can eat, eat. I got no pabandi, I got no limitation with regard to that. I got no limitation with regard to your sleeping pattern. I'm not going to come and monitor your sleeping pattern. But yes, what I would they say is that if I spend, don't spend time speaking to one another. That do, and the first two things, there's no pabandi. There's no pabandi on the amount of your eating and your sleeping. That, of course, you must regulate and discipline yourself. But in terms of speaking unnecessary, there I would say and tell people that don't speak unnecessary. Because when you are to 120, 150, and nowadays you have 300-400 people sitting for itikaf in one place, there could be a tendency of catching up with juicy news and speaking about things that are there that are not part and parcel of itikaf. So we have to be careful with regard to that we don't while away time by speaking about personal issues while in the masjid. So as Sheikh Muhammad Ali used to make the special announcement.
And also, Murana, once you leave that gathering, you miss and you yearn for it again throughout the year, and then you look forward to it the next year again, because it becomes such a close, connected environment and a close, connected feeling that you yearn for it, like how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala would yearn to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the Shaykh is not calling towards himself, he's calling towards Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that bond is created between the Sheikh and the people around him, Mawlana?
Definitely. Two messages have come. Once in, Mawlana, very experienced, very inspiring topic, and about your tikaf experiences of the great scholars and shuyukh of our past. So may Allah Ta'ala preserve you and grant us all the benefit from the spirituality of those great shuyukh. And someone said, bringing back memories of Stenge, never experienced a Ramadan like that. I have a cassette recording of one of the programs which I would share, inshallah, with people. And of course, that some of the, I'm sure there must be a lot of people who have similar type of experiences.
Indeed, Murad, we've got about 7 minutes left.
Yes, Moana, let me say with regard to what I heard from Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali with regard to the acceptance of du'as. Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's, and of course, what was the amazing thing was about Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was how he corrected. How many times he corrected me on so many important things that I still recall. What's one day my talk took a little bit longer. And because of the talk being longer, you shortened the prayers. And you read Sabda Isma in Jummah in two rakats. And you stopped that and you read Qad Aflaha Man Tazakka. And Mufti Mutsab Rahmatullah Ali called me and said, hey, next time, cut your talk a little bit, but don't cut the Salat. Read your whole Sabda Isma in Halataka if you have to read it that way. If you are reading Sabda Isma, then read the entire one. You know, and one or two times he corrected me with regard to my certain words or certain aspects, and you know, and his muhabbat and love used to be amazing. He used to say he don't understand the English term, but he should say with regard to the tafsir that you are doing. He used to give nuktas. He used to say this, and I find it very amazing because of his love and muhabbat. He had that love what everyone felt, especially in his eyes. And it was amazing with regard to it. Then also with regard to the first khatam we made, 6, 6, and 8. And he was not happy with that. He said, no, the fuqaha have written that we must stop at 4 after every 4. So if you are going to, you're going to have few hufas reading, make it 4, 8, 8, and you can change between the hufas. But you know, stopping at 6. And then after 6, he says something that I don't approve, I don't like it. It's not that it's haram, but then we changed the hip situation, where we made it 4, 8, 8. And this was the Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And remarkable type of thing. But I said, in terms of the amount of time that you spend in Taraweeh, I haven't spent that amount of time in Taraweeh the way I spent in the time of Shah Abdul Aziz Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. which was used to, and used to take place in a garden because it was summer, and used to be a garden. There used to be about 70 people, and the garden used to be there. And you know, Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali used to take, you know, almost three hours with regard to his Taraweeh. And how much of sukoon there was, I can't explain that. Now, coming back to the point that what Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said about the five ways of our duas getting accepted. Well, can I carry on with that?
Yes, sure, Mona.
Any other messages that have come through?
Everybody just saying, listening.
Okay. Mona, what Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives you immediately what you want.
Hmm.
So sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives you immediately what you want. And sometimes the ulama gives this example of Abu Hurairah. I didn't give it to you in the year after, but I kept it as a reward. Now here, take the reward of all the du'as that you made, but for some reason, I didn't give you what you want. I kept it as a reward and as a gift for you in the year after.
Hmm.
And when human being sees that, he will make du'a and say, Allah, I hope, I wished that none of my du'as could have got accepted.
Amazing.
And you would have kept everything for me in the year after. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala give us immediately, sometimes after a delay, sometimes Allah Ta'ala give us something better, sometimes Allah Ta'ala, because of our dua, protect the calamity that is coming our way, and sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives the reward and the gift of our dua in the year after. Five ways Allah Ta'ala accepts our duas.
Jazakumullah khairan, much appreciated. We hope to speak to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.